the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program. Friends and enemies, welcome to another episode of the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast on the CBP Media Network. My name is Joey. I'm here alone tonight, except for our guest, we'll introduce in a second. Before we start, though, as always, we have to talk about our sponsor, our brand new sponsor, EasyDNS. I don't have the website up today, and I'm still working on the ad read, but the long and short about EasyDNS, okay? Len and I are about to start a website, which we should have done a long time ago, and we could have used GoDaddy, we could have used WordPress, could have used whatever, but we're going to use EasyDNS, which actually has a WordPress plugin, because a few things about EasyDNS that we like and you're going to like too. One, they take Bitcoin for the services. Outstanding. You can migrate your like idle website domain to EasyDNS. They'll do it for you on the house if you use them as a host, which is great, which we're probably going to wind up doing because God knows I don't know how to do it. And they have a bunch of easy stuff to use there, like the WordPress plugin I mentioned. They have a lot of good stuff on deck to help you with any problems you have. Email, VPS, all this good stuff over there. Mark, the owner, has been on the show. He's co-hosted. OG Bitcoiner, good Canadian company. We love him. You'll love him as well. And we hope you check him out, easydns.com. Now, without further ado, a topic that needs no introduction anywhere in the civilized Bitcoin Twitter world, because it's the only thing people are talking about. I'm here with Hoddle D, noted ordinals man. I don't want to call you an ordinals bull. I think that's unfair. but I don't know, like, how would you, first of all, how are you? And second of all, how would you describe yourself as far as ordinals go?
Yeah, I'm good. Obviously totally different background than what we're used to here, babysitting some dogs, but yeah, no, doing pretty well. Obviously taking a little heat online on ordinals. I like to refer to them as inscriptions, and if people want to use them as ordinals, then they're welcome to do that. That's a totally different thing. But yeah, man, you know, my thoughts are my own. I'm definitely here on my own account today. It's not like I'm representing CoinKite in any way in my thoughts today. But we can get into some of that stuff. That's totally fine. But just a big disclaimer, obviously, I'm here on my own volition, and I'm ready to take some heat and have this conversation with you. And, you know, you're a good guy. So we're not obviously going to be screaming at each other. So
obviously I'm not. Looking forward to it. I'm glad you gave that disclaimer, because I was going to, if you didn't, should note that there's a lot of people who are giving you a hard time because of your affiliation with CoinKite. You know, we are not the people we work for or the companies we work for. And so it's something to keep in mind when you're screaming at people about, oh, well, CoinKite must be doing this. You have no fucking idea what CoinKite's doing, okay? No fucking idea, a non-listener or viewer. So don't worry about that. We're just talking about ordinals and inscriptions and what the fuck these things are. Len and I have talked about this like three times over the last 3 weeks. And I got to tell you, D, I'm sick of it. This is going to be the last time I talk about this. I'm tired.
Len hates
it. He's not even here. He refused to come.
I know.
So I got to know from you, okay? You, I don't know if you call yourself an expert, but you've done the most ad hoc presenting of these ideas and the inscription/ordinals tech of anyone I know in the space, besides maybe Casey. But I mean, he invented the thing. So tell me. Yeah. I already made a mistake, right? Inscriptions, ordinals. Maybe I don't know as much as I think I do. Tell me about what these things are. Why is this important? Like, give me some context here for the conversation.
Yeah, sure. So obviously online, I've been taking some heat, and you know, I get people are you know, trigger happy with their keyboards. You know, when we're talking in person like this or at a meetup or whatever, obviously it's a little bit different, and people kind of have a different side to them online, right? I mean, even myself, I mean, I definitely have that. But I've just been kind of hosting, you know, Twitter spaces throughout the week and a little bit last week, just to inform people about what they are, and, you know, where they kind of lie in the Bitcoin ethos and the Bitcoin, you know, realm compared to, you know, altcoins, crypto folks. You know, my goal is to kind of just teach people self-custody, and even if you're self-custodying Satoshis that you're assigning to a picture, I'm still going to be there to teach you how to self-custody those coins, right? I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a attached to a picture or not, it's still Bitcoin that, you know, it's better off on a cold, you know, hardware wallet rather than on a, you know, a web browser extension or a hot wallet on your laptop, right? So the same ethos of what I teach still applies. This is just kind of like that next branch or extension of kind of what I'm already doing, right? So to give a bit of a background on inscription ordinals, there's two little concepts here, right? So there is the inscription part of all this, where you are basically choosing a file. Hopefully, well, not hopefully, but it has to be less than 4 megabytes. Usually, it's way less than that. You're basically pushing that file into what's called the witness data, and that's being inscribed on chain. So every person that runs a node, Adam Back, Michael Saylor, anyone, your node, my node, all has, you know, this file now on their in their blocks on Bitcoin. So now, you know, that's the first part. So that's the inscription part. That's in a block. It doesn't move. Once it's inscribed onto the block of your choosing, you know, you pay your fee and gets included in a block, just like a regular transaction. It stays there forever, and it goes into storage on everyone's node. Now, where Casey kind of did this, you know, what's called ordinal theory, is the separate part where he's created kind of like a, you know, something totally external to Bitcoin. Okay, so he has serialized every Satoshi in the way that he wanted to serialize it, right? Anyone can do this. They can fork the ord cord. Sorry, they can fork the ord GitHub code, and instead of doing what he did and use his rules, they could make a totally new rule set and, you know, index the Satoshis a totally different way, and have their own ordinal protocol that people can run and like subscribe to, right? They can opt into this. This is a fully opt-in thing, completely separate from Bitcoin. I cannot emphasize that enough, because people just don't get that part. I don't know. So anyway, ordinal part, you're indexing Satoshis, and you're assigning that file that you inscribed on the base layer to a Satoshi. And then, so if I wanted to trade that with you, or give it to you, or, you know, do whatever, it doesn't matter. I want to transfer it from my wallet to your wallet. I would spend that UTXO with the assigned sat, and then you would now get that sat, and now you have full control of that sat that's assigned to that file on Bitcoin. So maybe a TLDR is inscription is a file that's written on Bitcoin, and ordinals is a way to track it arbitrarily, like a receipt. So it's like a receipt that we're giving around, kind of like regular NFTs on other platforms. It's just, you know, a little bit different, because it's not like you're transferring around a non-fungible token. All Bitcoin is fungible. You're just using a sat instead of like an ERC20 token or something like that.
So, okay, first of all, great explanation. I appreciate that. I'm sure people who are listening and watching appreciate it too. The things that you're saying to me make sense, though they raise some questions you've addressed,
Sure.
questions I've heard addressed by other people. So let's start with the files, pictures, PDFs, whatever that get inscribed. Common refrain I hear on Bitcoin Twitter is, what do we do if there's unsavory content? And not, I don't mean unsavory in terms of like, you know,
Illegal, whatever.
illegal, exactly, right? Everyone knows
Sure.
The sort of pillars of illegal content. You mentioned there that the Satoshis, you know, though only one person holds the private keys for spending at any given time, they're on everyone's node, as sort of the nature of of nodes go. Is this something people should be concerned about? Something you've thought about? Something you've heard other people talk about? Is this a big deal? Little deal? No deal? What do you say?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have their concerns, and rightfully so, right? I mean, it's a valid question. I get that. I think I've gotten that like 50 times in the past week. People are so concerned about concerned about this, and you know, it's a tough question, right? You want to have an immutable, decentralized system, permissionless, that no one can tell you what to do, but you want to not have something on it that you don't like, right? I mean, those things, alone kind of contradict each other, because if you can do whatever you want, then anyone else can do whatever they want as well, right? So the way that I see it as, like, you can't filter some arbitrary data and then not filter other arbitrary data, because no matter what you do, there will always be arbitrary data being written to Bitcoin. And that's how Bitcoin works, right? Obviously, not the best example, but you know, Satoshi Nakamoto in 2009 inscribed some in an op return, you know, the Times, Bitcoin on you know, the Chancellor on the brink of second bailout for banks, right? That was the very first Genesis block. That was in an op return. That was arbitrary data that had nothing to do with Bitcoin, but it set the tone for the entire Bitcoin, you know, system, right? So since then, there's been a lot of different scripts that you can put in op returns. And, you know, I personally am not too, you know, I don't know enough to, like, kind of get in the details there. But I mean, even if you wanted to send, you know, Satoshis to an address that you didn't have the private key to, you can just do an arbitrary set of strings and letters, you know, letters and numbers, and that can be your hexadecimal to render into a file or whatever, right? That can just be an address. And no one can stop you from sending Satoshis to an address you have no private key to, right? Addresses have standards, but you can literally do whatever you want. So yeah, so again, right? You want to have an immutable decentralized ledger, but you don't want specific stuff on it. The short answer for that is tough luck. Unless you want to, one, you know, filter out your mempool, and hopefully, you know, more than 90% of the network filters their mempool and stops relaying these inscriptions as well, right? They're, it's super easy. Casey literally organized this super well, so that if you want to filter these things, all you have to look for is ORD, which is like a little envelope, has ORD on it. You can scan it in your mempool, and you can just drop those transactions if you want. Like, he made it super easy. But the only thing is, you would have to get a mass amount of people to follow you and drop all those relay transactions for it to actually matter. Because if you have, like, more than 10% of the network relaying these transactions, there's enough skips and hops and bounces between nodes for that to make it to a miner regardless of what you do. So obviously, as a miner, or sorry, as a node runner, you have the ability to you have the ability to choose what you want in your mempool or not, but you don't have the ability to convince everyone else to follow you, right? So you can either do that, you can either, you know, kind of censor your mempool a little bit, and hopefully that will stop them, but that brings on a whole another set of concerns. Or you can you know, propose a BIP that, you know, reduces the witness data discount, that also affects Lightning channel opens and closes, like, you know, Taproot stuff. You can try and reverse that with a BIP. Hopefully people follow you. Or you can fork, and you can, you know, just go back to an old chain, and hopefully people follow you there as well. Or like a, you know, an older version of Bitcoin Core, or make your own arbitrary changes, and hopefully people follow you. Obviously people don't want to fork in Bitcoin. Like, that's like the worst thing that would happen in Bitcoin. Or number four, as a lot of people on Twitter have pointed out, you can just get over it and move on with your life, and just stop talking about it, right? Like, the thing is that this is totally external to Bitcoin. Besides the inscription part, this whole ordinal thing is something else. It's like an illusion.
Why do you say that? I'm curious. Yeah. There's some. I don't want to say gymnastics. I don't think you're doing gymnastics. I think you're giving me honest answers, but you've said this a few times. It's outside of Bitcoin. I don't know if I view it the same way, but I'm curious why you describe it that way.
Yeah. So like, the inscription part, yes, it's on Bitcoin. That file is on Bitcoin forever. Sorry, I went on a little tangent there. it's on Bitcoin. That's real. Okay. That is being inscribed. Blocks are being full, are being more full than they've ever been. Fees are going up because people are willing to pay for whatever they want to inscribe. And remember, this inscription can be any file you want. It doesn't have to be a picture. It can be an HTML, an SVG. It can be, I believe in the future, it can be like a step file for a 3D gun, 3D printed gun, which is a great use case for this, in my opinion. Just one of many. I mean, this is 2 weeks old. I don't know all the information. So take everything I say with a grain of salt. But the inscription is real, okay? The ordinals protocol is totally separate. There's nothing that the Ordinals protocol does that touches Bitcoin in any meaningful way. So the whole lens thing, like I talk about. So it's think about it like a lens. If I have this dollar bill, okay, and I put some invisible ink on it, and I draw like, you know, something stupid on it, like a flower, whatever, anything, okay, and I give it to my grandma to you know, for groceries or whatever. My grandma can go use that dollar bill, and there is nothing different about it. That she has no idea that flower is drawn on it until you look through it through your, you know, UV lenses or your UV flashlight, and that actually sees the drawing on the paper bill, right? So it doesn't affect fungibility. It's not really there in terms of anything Bitcoin Core related, but you're just adding something on top. You're adding a set of arbitrary rules that you decided on top. And if you want to play that game, just like chess or football, then you're welcome to opt into that and play that game. Now, if you change any of those rules, if you wanted to, you know, make a different game, say if I wanted to change the game of chess, right? If I said my bishop is going to, instead of moving diagonally, I'm going to actually move it forward and sideways like a rook. Most people that play chess are going to be like, nah, I'm not playing the way you're playing. I'm going to play chess the way that I know how to play chess, right? The way that, you know, we've all come to a, you know, sort of a social consensus on, right? So that's kind of the way I like to explain it. But, you know, inscription is on chain. Ordinals is completely separate. Think of it as maybe an L2, but that might be incorrect as well. I don't know.
So, okay, good explanation there. Again, the question I think that we should talk through next is, what is the nature of witness data and how is it related to block size? Block size is limited, as we know, but my understanding is that witness data is a separate sort of entity on chain that you don't have a limit on, which is causing some problems. Do I have that right? Do you want to talk about that a little bit? If you can put some color on that, it's all yours.
I can put a little color. Witness data is still limited to the block size. I mean, you can't stuff more than 4 gigabytes worth into it, or else it won't process on Bitcoin, right?
Megabytes per block.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. You know, nodes run consensus, and if the block is more than 4 megabytes, they're going to count that as an invalid block and it won't be mined or validated, right? So for the witness data, it's what, you know, again, this is very new to me too, very new subject. Please take everything with what I'm saying with a grain of salt and do not take it word for word. I swear to God, if you do, then I'm sorry. Basically, the witness data is fully separate from the UTXOs. So it doesn't like touch the Satoshis in your UTXOs or anything. It's like, it's a signature that just confirms that it's a valid transaction. Think of it like, you know, I want to make a transaction and you're my witness to sign on a house deed or whatever. So that, oh, like, you know that it's valid. I'm just gonna stop there because that's as far as I can go with that. But the witness data is 75% discount, and people are getting a little pissed off at that because, you know, you can push so much data onto chain with, you know, very little amount of money. And, you know, that is true to some extent, but remember, like, those scripts in the witness data are being used by, like, things like Lightning and opening up channels and channel factories and batch transactions and obfuscating multi-sig and Lightning channel opening and closings, right? So in Taproot, you don't know what a transaction is until it's quote unquote revealed, hence the witness, right? You can spend it, but until that witness is opened, think of it like an envelope with ORD on it. You open it up and you view that picture or whatever, or you view the information inside, you don't know what it is. So just like, you know, opening up a channel or a multisig, until you settle back on chain, you don't really know exactly what's going on there. And that's for privacy stuff and, you know, to make it, a little bit more privacy, it's better privacy, right? So there's pros and cons to Taproot. And, you know, obviously a lot of people, you know, may agree or disagree, but in 2017, SegWit increased the block size to 4 megabytes. We all agreed on that in 2017. So the fact that people are mad about blocks being full now is a little silly because we agreed to that in 2017. So.
I don't know if the dogs agree to it. So I didn't prep you for this. I didn't prep you for this at all. And my co-host armed me with this Noster post, I guess. I'm going to read it for people who are listening. Or it's from Derek Ross, who many of you probably know on Twitter as well. Ordinal inscribers are now paying Bitcoin mining pools to construct blocks for them with zero or minimal financial transactions so that all of their images get inscribed in sequential order. They are not using the normal block construction methods. They are including these in the next block over the counter or behind closed doors. This has happened three times so far with three different pools, Luxor, Foundry, and the latest one was from Terra Pool. These out-of-band blocks are creating a secondary marketplace outside of Bitcoin's normal block construction methods. Miners are now talking about selling blocks before they are found. Thoughts? Now, before I ask you for your thoughts, I think that's an important question and one that came up because of the first time this happened. I think maybe last week, you and I talked about this briefly in one of your spaces, and I've heard you talk about it before, that there was some outside exchange of value with a miner in order to get a block through. Is this something we should be worried about? It seems to me that it is. And I say that because, you know, the same way that I want this to be permissionless and uncensorable, I want it to be outside of these sorts of issues with blocks being quote unquote, you know, manufactured in advance of being found or sold in advance of being found. I view this as sort of two sides of the same coin, D. Do I have that right? Do you feel differently about it? What do you think?
Well, miners could do that from the beginning, man. If someone wanted to pay, sorry about that.
Right.
If someone wanted to pay $1 million to throw a bunch of useless transactions into a block and pay a pool to do so, that mining pool would do it regardless. And there's nothing you can do about it because they were the one that found that block. That's why we have multiple pools. And that's why we don't have one massive pool, right? You know, I see Foundry is getting a lot bigger and hopefully people will start moving away from them. And, you know, hopefully things like Stratum V2, where the miner is generating or creating the block rather than the pool, will definitely help out with this. But no, I don't see it as a long-term issue. I do see it as an opportunity for these mining companies to make more money. To put it in perspective, Udi paid roughly 0.25 Bitcoin for his block about 2 weeks ago with the 4 megabyte, 4 mega, same thing. And the latest one, the Terra Pool one, I talked to the guy that did that. It was, I'm not trying to shill a project here. I mean, fuck, I don't like NFTs at all. Okay. So just FYI, but the creator of the D Gods collection, I don't know if you know that.
I don't even know what that, of course, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is, who that is.
Yeah. So some guy, that created a collection on Ethereum, or was it Solana? I don't know. Decided to inscribe 536 or something around that number of his collection from another platform. And so he called up Terra Pool or whoever and said, I'm willing to pay you 2 Bitcoin for this block. Okay. Now that 2 Bitcoin is like what, 45K?
Yeah.
Probably around there. The subsidy for, or like, you know, the mining, you know, disregard the mining subsidy. Obviously, the mining subsidy is like quite high right now, 6.25 Bitcoin per block. But the transaction fees on top of that estimate around $2,000 to $5,000 in Bitcoin terms on any given block. Okay, so if someone is willing to go to a miner and say, "I'm willing to pay you, you know, double, triple, quadruple the amount of money you would make if you just included regular transactions," then that creates an arbitrage opportunity for that miner to mine a block at a more expensive price. And if they're a private pool, they can just put that money right in their pocket. But where the concern or like the question lies is, you know, if the miners that are in that pool don't get paid that fee, right? So, I mean, everyone would probably get, you know, 10 cents knocked off their reward right now because the subsidy is making up a lot of it. But the fees, you know, in the future, you know, even right now, people aren't going to like that, right? If the miner's being cut out of the deal of the money, then they're going to move pools, right? That's just it. I would argue that's pretty simple. And obviously it's only been like, you know, three, four blocks right now. I do see that it will be, it might be more in the future. And again, if you're a private pool that doesn't care about paying out your public mining rewards, you can do this all day. And if you're making more money, great. But I believe that the mempool is the most efficient market, and will become more efficient in the future. And if people are taking, you know, money out of band, that's something that we are going to have to deal with and live with because they are the ones creating the blocks.
True libertarian take there. I'll follow up with maybe one other question.
Sure.
Is this only feasible, D, because the people who are paying the miners for, you know, in this case, sequential inclusion, is it only feasible because they feel like they can sell the ordinal for more than they're paying at some point? That's got to be it, right?
I would say for 99.9% of them, yeah, for sure. In the future, I'm sure some billionaire that has a bunch of money to throw away that doesn't really care and wants to just disrupt the network and pay out a miner to, you know, have a blank block or just throw a 4 megger picture in there. They're going to do that, and they have every incentive to take that fee if they're going to make more from it, right? So it's definitely an interesting concept. It's a give and take. And just to kind of, you know, ride along with that, I don't think this will be economically feasible in the future. Like right now, because we had blocks half full, you could make a transaction for 1 sat per byte. People can throw whatever they want on the blockchain and throw massive amount of files because there's so much empty space and it's so cheap. But when say we're on a Bitcoin standard, or you know, 50 years from now, when you know transactions make up most of the fees in a block, the more fee dense, very small transactions that are willing to pay 20, 50, 80 sats per byte, rather than these guys that are willing to pay maybe up to 5, 10 sats per byte, they will be pushed out, and they will not be able to you know do this as much. There might still be small amounts that will get through, but they have to be willing to pay, right? If you're willing to pay, then you're allowed to play, and that's how Bitcoin works.
Isn't that another way to say that some people can be censored out of the network?
Well, I'd
These
say
are
no.
again, like I should say one more time. I didn't give you any of this shit in advance. And so I'm kind of coming up with this as we
Sure.
go, but the
That's
way
fair.
I'm thinking about this is if you know, I'm a 1 sat per byte guy. If I can get that transaction through in a day, like I don't care, it doesn't matter to me. And so, you know, there's a lot of people though who don't want to pay more than 1 sat per byte, or who can't, or who you know, whatever. Like if, like for example, if you're in a tight, I think of people who might be in a tight spot, you know, in a nation or a continent that's it, where it's difficult to connect to the internet for a prolonged period of time or consistently. They send through a transaction, they're expecting it to go, they have to relocate, or the internet goes down, or power goes out, or there's a military coup or whatever. They're waiting, they're waiting, they're waiting, they're waiting, doesn't come through. Those people, even if they want to, you know, pay for a quicker transaction, right? A lot of wallets allow that now, sort of pay after the fact. They can't do it because people are sending frog pictures or whatever. Like, and like frog pictures is kind of a straw man, right? It
Sure.
could be anything. Like you mentioned, there's other stuff that could go on the on chain as well.
It
But
could be an immutable 3D gun printed file that the government
yeah.
does not want to be get out, and you have that full ability to upload that immutable data file to Bitcoin, just as you have immutable money, right? And
So,
immutable money is the goal, obviously, still.
yeah, it is. But are you worried? I keep on asking you, like you speak for ordinals and inscriptions, but you know, are you
Thoughts are
worried
my
that,
own. Thoughts are my
yeah,
own.
of course, of course. Are you worried that like there's going to be a fee market that prices out people who are the most poor, presumably the most in need of Bitcoin as a financial network? Does this concern you? The more I hear this, the more this is a concern for me. We're talking all the time about how Africa is going to be the first sort of Bitcoin banked continent. It seems to be happening a little more every day, every week, every month. But if they don't have $5 to put the transaction through, or $10 to put the transaction through, or more in some cases, you know, it sounds like down the road you think it may be more. What do they do? What's the alternative for them? Aren't they being, quote unquote, excluded, censored out from the network by people with money and power? I thought we were trying to get away from that. Well, what do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of loaded words, right? People are being censored from the network. And I would say no. That's kind of why we created Lightning. You're going to see things like channel factories start coming up and spinning up. And obviously we don't have everything down pat. Nothing's perfect right now. But the goal of Bitcoin is to be used, right? And if we are like the L1 cannot sustain and cannot scale to 8 billion people, no matter how hard we try. It is impossible to scale financial transactions to 8 billion people on the L1 while keeping nodes distributed and not centralized. Because the amount of data and the amount of block size that we would need to do that is exponentially higher than what we have now. So at some point, we have to accept the fact that people in third world countries or people that cannot afford transactions on L1 are going to be priced out. And it's not that they're being censored, it's that they are just going to have to be using layers above the base layer, right? Bitcoin is base the base layer to me is like a settlement layer. Think of it as like an ACH payment or a wire transfer from the Fed. Okay, and then there's going to be hopefully not banks, but more local trusted people that will run a channel for their local community or something like that, right? Like it's going to be a lot smaller networks. It's not going to be a massive bank that has a whole country with a line of credit, right? It's going to be like my dad or my school teacher or like my principal has like a node for every kid or something like that. Like just try and think of it that way rather than them being priced out, because I think we can both agree that we cannot scale L1 to 8 billion people. And I agree that this does change that timeline. It might push it up a little bit, right? This might have been an issue in like 20 years, maybe 30, depending on who you're talking to, maybe like 3 years, depending on who's talking. But I mean, right now, the mempool, if you want to be included in the next block, is 14 sats per byte. And that's 48 cents. Okay, so if you wanted to make a transaction right now, that's 48 cents. If I wanted to push a thousand sorry like a 60 kilobyte image of my face or whatever, that same thing would cost me like $200 right now, or like $100, because the amount of it depends on how much data you're trying to store online or on Bitcoin. So a financial transaction is super small. It's super tiny. You look on mempool, it's like this tiny little block. It has maybe a 1 to 2 bytes, maybe a little more. Whereas a file, like a picture, is like massive. It's like this big on the mempool, and it costs so much because you're pushing so much data. So it is relative to size, and everyone pays the same price per byte per virtual byte that they're pushing onto chain. So no one is paying less than someone else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the value of these inscriptions at the moment. Now, you and me have traded some text messages over the last week or so. There's some concern from people in the community about the same wash trading. I would call it wash trading. I don't know what else you would call it, that goes on in
Sure.
the NFT space where people are claiming they sold a Satoshi for, 0.25, 0.5, one Bitcoin, et cetera, et cetera. Here's a picture of this rock. I can't believe I started this podcast so I'd never have to talk about these fucking rocks. And now here I am 2 years later
That's
talking
okay.
about the rocks. Yeah. So, D, is this something you've had any visibility into? Are people talking about this in your spaces? What is the general kind of consensus at the moment about the validity of some of these, I don't know, value tags that people are claiming they have on these inscripted satoshis? Is this legit? Is it not legit? What say
Right.
you?
Right. And again, sorry for the dog, man. I wish I
Buddy,
could
everyone's
shut
got
it off.
dogs. Everyone loves dogs. They're busy. That's what they do.
Oh, man. And like Twitter spaces when like, someone comes off mute and it's like their baby's crying or something and they're like, "Oh, sorry. That
Or
reminds me
on
of me right
COD.
now."
On COD is the best. You get the early
Yeah.
morning COD
Oh, yeah.
players telling their
Oh,
wives
my
to leave them
God.
alone and telling their kids to shut up.
Yeah, literally. So just before I answer that, a lot of people in the comments here are actually saying, which is actually very true, If you don't want this witness data, it can be pruned because it's separate from the UTXO set. Before SegWit, you would have to include all this data, but the witness data is actually prunable. And with SegWit, there was the promise that you could prune this this witness data. So that's actually a good thing. If you don't want rocks and rock JPEGs on your node, that's totally fine. Prune it. Don't worry about it. Throw it out. Do what you want. It's still going to be on, you know, thousands of people's nodes to reference, but it won't be on yours. So, you know, as a node runner, you'll be fine. As for the wash trading, yes, 100%. There's people that will always try and scam people. You know, the classic one Bitcoin, give me one Bitcoin, I'll give you two. That's a scam that exists on Bitcoin that we cannot stop, that we all agree is a terrible thing, but people get scammed regardless. Okay. So whether or not they're being scammed on Ethereum or another, you know, shitcoin chain, or Bitcoin, it's irrelevant in my opinion, because that's just going to happen regardless. Personally, for me, I see this as a educational piece, you know, a learning opportunity for people that want to learn how to run their own node. They want to install Bitcoin Core. They want to learn how to self-custody. They want to, you know, I'm introducing people to Sparrow Wallet for coin management, you know, stuff like that. It's really surprising to see all these, you know, meth heads coming over to the Bitcoin space. And, you know, obviously their incentives are to make money and to scam people. We agree on that 100%. I am never going to disagree with someone about that. And, you know, that's my word. But people are going to do it, and they're free to do it, right? And just as much as they're free to do that, I'm free to inscribe and have fun with it and just, you know, just inscribe some memes and or put my wedding vows on there or whatever the fuck I want, right? It's a permissionless network. So, yes, I agree. Wash trading sucks. I've been quoted that there are legitimate sales. And, you know, personally, I actually don't know if those are legitimate sales because I haven't seen the receipts. Until I see a marketplace forum where there's actual receipts, or I know someone in person that said, yeah, I bought one, then I'll believe them. But there's obviously a little bit of trust involved here. But in the future for trading these things, if that's something you want to do, I don't know if you're familiar with a PSBT, a partially signed Bitcoin transaction. You can post a PSBT to a public server. Think of it like a town square, kind of like Twitter, where you just post stuff, and you can set your you know, your buy amount. Say you want 50 Bitcoin, and someone pays you the 50 Bitcoin. They create the rest of the parameters for that PSBT. They pay you, and then once that's in your wallet, then that Satoshi that they find so valuable goes into their wallet. And that's fully trustless, and you don't have to do it like, you know, OpenSea or all these other garbage ones where you have to basically, you know, deposit your NFT or whatever onto their platform. They have all control, so you have all the control here. And I kind of think of it as like a Trojan horse, right? You know, it's like, oh, look at these ordinals. Yeah, like, come on, come to Bitcoin. Like, we're so cool. And then, you know, it's like, you know, in the Trojan horse, it's like, you know, Bitcoin D, you know, like getting the nodes
I
running.
Totally dis-
and like,
I totally disagree, you know? With this. I said this to you in your space. I'm not going to rehash it. I disagree with this. I think these people are beyond helping. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, it's all good. But yeah, you know, it's definitely interesting to see a lot of new faces. And yeah, I understand that there's going to be a lot of scammers out there, and I will continue to call them out. But, you know, I don't see anything wrong with inscribing and just keeping it for sentimental value. There's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. And if someone disagrees, that's totally fine. We don't have to agree. That's part of that's part of the internet, and you know, no one's ever going to fully agree.
Okay, I want to, before we get off ordinals, and I'm going to make you put your coin kite hat on after this. You mentioned something there that I think a lot of people are not familiar with. I'm going to pull it up here for people who are listening. You have to go to YouTube. This is Bitfeed, where you can see the transactions coming into the next block by size, by sats per byte. So you mentioned this earlier, this whole thing about, you know, they're coming in looking small or looking big. Do you want to talk a bit about what this is and maybe explain to people what you mean by that, what each of these blocks represents?
Sure.
and sort of what, you know, how you can draw value from this if you're a Bitcoiner?
Sure. Could you go to mempool.space instead? I like.
I knew you
better.
Were going to say. Why do you like that one more? I like this one more. Everyone likes mempool.
I like the green. I like the heat map. This is a heat map too. but mempool.space is just, oh, so much more, so much nicer.
Where is the,
can you look
where's
up,
the,
can you
where's
look
the
up blocks?
visualizer on this?
Well, just click on any block. Yep. And then you'll
oh,
see them.
Nice.
Okay.
Okay.
So those are all inscriptions. Okay. So those are at the very back of the line. That is what you'd call the buyer of last resort. Okay. So those people, they want to inscribe, they want to put their stupid monkey JPEGs on Bitcoin. It sucks. It doesn't matter if it sucks. They can do it if they want. This is like kind of what's filling up the mempool right now. So maybe go to the other side on the purple. We can see the blocks that are actually mined. And then I can actually show you the block that was mined by a mining pool. Okay, so that was the block that just recently got mined. I believe the light blue is what the miner actually put in manually. And then the rest are just regular transactions from the mempool. So if you look, so that one, yeah, exactly. Those are all good. You'll see the amount says 10,000 sats. That's like your average amount that will be in a wallet attached to an ordinal, because you technically need to pay fees to transfer to each wallet. So it's not like you have one sat in there, right? You still have to transfer that sat somehow. So you use the other sats in that wallet to transfer it. But if you kind of scroll around and go through the other ones, you'll see most of them are 10,000 sats, like those big ones. And the smaller ones are more financial transactions or just smaller files that are trying to be pushed onto the chain as well. But you can see most of them. I don't know if you, I can't see too
every
much
single
here,
one is 10,000 sats.
10,000
every single
sats.
One.
Yeah, that's right. So that's a great way to identify them. And then, okay, so we have a visual of this block, okay? You can see at the bottom, there's a lot smaller transactions. You know, the mempool is not really full right now. It's probably like, between, 5 and 15 sats per byte. I think
yeah, it's
what
about,
the median
it's 12
was,
right now. Median
12,
is 12,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, yes. So 12 sats per byte. So usually the smaller ones are financial transactions. Let's go to, let me just find it. Go to the top of the page and look for block 776.
Yeah.
It's in the search bar in the top there. You can't,
well,
you'll
whatever.
Have to scroll pretty
oh, okay,
far.
Okay. All right.
It's 776408.
Okay. Good content here for the listeners. You should go to YouTube and look at this because you probably make this your screensaver actually. So,
right.
Anyway.
Okay. Now look
okay,
at that
here we
block.
Go.
Okay. It's fully blue, meaning that those are all manually put in that block.
Yeah.
Okay. And it looks like a freaking pattern. Like, they made it so that, they fit as much information into that block as possible. And so each one of those squares is an inscription.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see expected block, right? That's what a regular block looks like.
Right.
There's the heat map is, the more red it is, the higher they're willing to pay. And then the lower, the lower sats per byte is green. Okay. So instead of mining that expected block with all those transactions in it, they decided to mine their own block and they were paid 2 Bitcoin to do so. And the rest is history.
So are they, like, this is another thing I hadn't really considered, but as these block explorers become more prevalent, like are these people really going to pay extra Bitcoin to put like patterns into these stupid block explorer websites? Like I can just imagine the dumb shit people are going to pay for. And it, I don't know. It just drives me. It drives me. You know what I mean though? Like this almost looks
why
like
does
it's
it
like
drive you insane?
It looks
so,
intentional
yeah,
because I'm old. I'm an old man. I want people off my lawn. Like what can I say? I think if I said this to you before, I'll say it again here. Do I think this brings you closer or further away from like serious global money? I think it's further. I don't know if it's going to be closer. Further in a year. You think it's going to be closer? Tell me why closer. I honestly don't understand the closer side. So give it to me.
So like I was saying, it's a buyer of last resort. So, I do see your argument where, people in third world countries may feel like they, might not want to use L1 because the fees are a little higher. Sure. But this just introduced like, I don't know, an extra 100,000 people to Bitcoin that, don't really use Bitcoin on a regular basis. Obviously that's quite a high number. It might be a way lower than 100K. But it will only grow, right? Like if you can use Bitcoin for whatever you want and people find this amusing and it catches on and there's demand for block space, that solves our, subsidy problem in 20, in 30 years when the subsidy is so low that we'll have to be relying on fees. And at that time, hopefully, we will only have monetary transactions, and hopefully the fees will be high enough. But if it's not, then there's people willing to pay for garbage to be put into the empty space, right? So think of it as like a buyer of last resort. That's the way I like to explain it, I guess.
Okay, I like that. Okay, you can take
So
off your
yeah,
Ordinals
like
hat. You've been.
demand's not bad, right? Like
No,
people
it's
think
not.
demand's bad, but demand's great.
It's not bad. It's not bad. You've done great work here today. Now I want to ask you to put on your CoinKite hat for a second. Can you explain to me why you guys in this dumb Palm Trio thing you're releasing? If you should tell MVK I said that. What's with the
The
batteries?
what thing?
What the Palm Trio? You're too young to even remember a Palm Trio. That looks like a Palm Trio, that thing. What is with the
You mean the
batteries?
T31?
The Q1, yeah, exactly, the T31. Talk to me about the Q1. Why, how, and most importantly, you guys have it on your website for $199, which ain't bad for a hardware wallet, especially from you guys. When can we expect to see this thing on channels like mine?
Soon. Oh man,
I
what am I supposed to tell you, dude?
don't know. I don't know.
Soon TM. It's classic NVK. You get the pre-orders, you see how much demand there is, and then you ship the product. I'm a mere pawn, not pawn, but I don't I'm not in those meetings, right? I'm just on Signal chatting like, hey, this customer has this issue. Can you help me? It's not like, hey, so what's our plan for this component of the Q1, and why don't we add this to this? And right, like, I'm not part of those decisions. So I'm definitely in the dark about when it's going to come out. So I wish I could tell you. I have no idea. All I can say is soon.
I do.
And soon could be 6 months, hopefully less than a year.
I think that thing looks pretty slick. So all joking aside, that looks like a good product. I'm sure you guys will do a good job with that. Now
Yeah, man.
we're done. Before we go, do you want to add anything else about ordinals and inscriptions? The final word. I'm closing the casket on ordinals and inscriptions on this channel after tonight. So this
We're
is it.
done. Oh.
You should inscribe your thoughts on this video to be enshrined for all time on YouTube and everywhere people get podcasts. Because after this, I'm
Yeah.
done. I'm done.
We can just
Until I
talk about
have to be until I
inscriptions.
have to be undone, until they pull me back in somehow. But I think
Right,
I'm
right.
done for a while.
Yeah, I think I would say, be patient with people. SegWit was a massive contentious thing. We upgraded to Taproot a year ago, and no one made a fuss until now, right? It's just because people hate having JPEGs on their blockchain. It's their baby. It's the mother of all chains. It's sound money, and it still is sound money, right? Nothing has changed. Only filling the empty block space is what has changed. Fees have gone up. Demand has gone up. That's what's changed. Obviously, people are being a little bit attacked online, including myself. So I just say, just have civil conversations like we're having here, right? I mean, you don't have to attack someone personally to disagree with them, right? I mean, I don't know. Like, I can call someone a shit coiner, but if I'm in a room with someone and they find that negative, then I'll be like, hey man, oh, you're that crypto guy, or oh, you're an altcoin guy. And people might have different opinions on that, of course. But I just try and be sympathetic to people and try and meet them where they're at rather than just shit on them. And in terms of wanting to stop this, I wish you luck, because it is going to be real hard to do so. And I say that in the nicest way possible, because this is going to stick around for a lot longer than I think a lot of people think. And people in the crypto space seem to really, really latch onto this. And think of it like a Chinese finger trap, right? As a kid, you put your fingers in it,
Here we
and
go.
you get really mad, and the more that you pull, the more people are going to want to do this shit, right? There's literally a collection that's like angry Bitcoin maxis. It's literally like some Bitcoiners at their laptop with like one of those faces. And there's like 100 of these. And people are doing this because Bitcoiners are getting so mad about it, right? It's like when your mom says don't do something, so then you go do it because she's told you not to. Okay,
Ha
that's the situation that's going on right now. And that's the whole finger, you know, Chinese finger trap that's going on. And I don't think people realize that. And it is hilarious to watch. And, you know, I know it sucks. And, you know, it is your precious Bitcoin. But nothing has fundamentally changed about it. It is still going to be sound money. We are still separating money from state. And, you know, there's nothing any government can do to shut this down. And then final thoughts, you know, people are, you know, obviously, you know, people are trying to, you know, people are getting angry at CoinKite for some stuff. And
we got,
know, obviously
we got
I can't
talk,
comment.
We should talk yeah. about the tweet. We should talk about the tweet. So there's a
sure,
tweet.
Sure.
I saw it on Bitcoin All Caps Twitter. I don't have it handy because I was like, I'll bring it up if we run out of stuff to talk about.
I'll give you the line.
Obviously. Okay.
I'll give you the line. So the line that was highlighted is disclaimer. My opinion on inscriptions can be biased because I am working on a startup that will use inscriptions and sats cards, CoinKite. And so people may have taken that and thought that, you know, we personally were working on this product with them. But this is literally an independent that is not working for CoinKite, okay? That is trying to build a business model around ordinals and sats cards or inscriptions and sats cards, right? And that has nothing to do with us. We have had sats cards out for over a year now, and they work and function the exact same. All they do is create a private, create an address for you to send Bitcoin to. And whether that Bitcoin has a frickin' ordinal inscription file attached to it or not is irrelevant to the sats card. The sats card has no frickin' clue what is on there except for Bitcoin. And that's it. So if you want to build a business model around our products and use it for, you know, scamming or, you know, pictures or giving it to your friends with pictures on it, how are we going to stop you from doing that? It's impossible.
Listen, I don't know. I guess the next logical question, you could put your, take your coin guy head off and like, what is the business you think? Cause I don't know. I mean, I messaged you about this today. I don't really know what it could be. I thought maybe you print the ordinal or you print the inscription if it's a picture on a sats card, but you guys are telling me you don't ship them one at a time. So like you can't even really do it. So what, I don't know what business you could run.
It's like, it's like thousands of cards if you want to make a bulk order because it has to be worth it for us. We can't just like, you can't just give us $5 to print a custom thing on it with your picture, right? You have to be buying in bulk for it to make it make sense for us economically to do this for you. Right. And just like Bitcoin needs to have economic incentives, it needs to be economically incentive for it to include these inscriptions into the blockchain for them to be included. And in the future, I don't think those will be on the blockchain because they'll be priced out. That's a prediction. I don't know the future. I am not a fortune teller. And anything that anyone wants to do external from Bitcoin or from CoinKite and wants to use our products for whatever they want, we can't stop them from doing that. So you know, it's just hard because, you know, online, you know, we get into these tweet threads and I just got to stop doing that because it's like, what are you trying to prove here? Like, I don't know this guy. I have no idea what he's doing with our product, but he bought the product and he wants to put sats on it that he thinks is attached to a file on a block that was mined 3 weeks ago. What am I going to do? Right. You know, so that's all I can say, man. That's all I can say.
Okay. We're good. This is the end of the program. That's Hoddle D on Twitter, Hoddle DEE. You can get into a thread with him and maybe he'll argue with you. Maybe he won't. I don't know. But you've been pretty active, man. Whether I agree or disagree, I disagree with a lot of it. But whether I agree or disagree, sure. At the end of the day, I open the show. And I'm saying this to people in the chat too, who are like the chat. This is as divided a chat as I think I've ever seen on this program. The reason we open the show with friends and enemies is because at the end of the day, this thing is for everyone. And you may not like the way people use it, but I don't have a better idea how to stop people from doing this at the moment. So,
right.
You know, we got to play the friends and enemies game. Yeah. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. If it wasn't in the witness data, it would be somewhere else. If Casey didn't discover this, someone else would have. Anything from 2017 and on, this could have been a possibility. There's literally no way to stop it. And even before that, there would have been a way for someone to do this. It would have been a totally different arbitrary way, but it was always possible. So I think people got to get over that hump And, you know, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be mean. Good luck stopping this. I really hope you can, but I am unconvinced right now that there's anything, you know, people can do to stop this except for prune it off their own node, right? Like, do it. You run your own node. That's fine. Miners are incentivized to mine the highest fee transactions. You pay, you play. That's it. I'm done.
God bless everyone. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for listening, watching. We'll talk to you soon.
Cheers.
Way to go. Good job.